Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Verse 7. Pray for James Epler. He's trying to lose weight, but he don't want to quit eating. I told him how. He didn't like that method. Romans 15, verse 7. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Let's pray now. Our Father, help us tonight. Lord, we've been saved by grace. That means we have nothing to merit. And what we have, Lord, you gave it to us. Help us understand that we are what we are by thy grace. Help us to realize all of us are sinners saved by grace. No saints here of their own accord, but saints because of thy mercy. And help us tonight to appreciate the grace of God and appreciate one another. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk a while tonight, and I don't know where I wind up, but tonight I want at least a title. Do you have a black book? Do you have a black book? And the verse says, wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now listen very carefully. Have you forgiven Noah for getting drunk? Have you forgiven Abraham for lying? Have you forgiven Jacob for deception? Have you forgiven Joseph's brother for their harshness with their younger brother? Have you forgiven David for his adultery and his murder? Have you forgiven John Mark for his quitting? Have you forgiven Simon Peter for his cursing? Have you forgiven James and John for their high temper? Have you forgiven Thomas for his negative attitude? Have you forgiven Paul for his sternness? Have you forgiven Euodias and Syntyche? I think that's the way you pronounce that lady's name. Have you forgiven them for quarreling at Colossae? Have you? It's strange we read about all these characters and we make excuses for them and we tell what they did and the Bible lays it out clear and plain, doesn't gloss it over. And grace in the New Testament puts them in a role called faith and doesn't mention anything about that. And we teach Sunday school and we talk about their failures and their sins and yet we extol and see what they did and we forgive them. But the problem is, we have a problem with the present generation. And there ain't a nickel's difference between us. Is it? Is it? Would you have fellowship with these folks that I just read about? Would you? Well, how about having fellowship with the rest of us today? You see, we can read the scriptures and we can talk about these Old Testaments and they did everything that I said and I'm not justifying it, but they sure did it. And the Bible doesn't excuse it and the Bible condemns it. But we don't have a black book for them. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have a black book for the living saints? Philip, I'm preaching. You didn't look like you was enjoying it. I'm going to put you number one. And I see some of you sleep when I preach, and I'm going to put you number one, too. Now, the book says, wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, if you have a black book, do you know what the problem is? You're a Pharisee. You're a Pharisee. You know what a Pharisee is? Their spirituality makes them superior to anybody else. And young people, listen very carefully. You hear me, I don't think it's any stronger, maybe some louder. But I don't think it's any stronger voice in this city than my preaching. I'm not talking about the quality. I'm talking about strong. I don't think there's a voice in this city that cries out any harder about sin than I do. I don't think there's anybody. Nobody, I don't think, has called me and said, well, that he's sure very soft. I never have been charged with that. I've been charged with severity. I've been charged with sternness. I've been charged with eating babies for breakfast, you know, without any bread or mayonnaise or anything. I've been charged with that. But I've never been charged, you know, with easy preaching. Never have. And young people, now hear me. You can cry out against sin, and you can be spiritual, but when your spirituality makes you superior to somebody else, you're a Pharisee, you're not spiritual. When your spirituality makes you superior to somebody else, then you are a Pharisee. Our Lord was totally spiritual. He never, except, I mean, absolute first-class hypocrites, he never, never appeared superior with folks. And to be a Pharisee, you do more harm to the cause of Christ than anything I know. Because you repel people. If you're spiritual, then you're not measuring yourself. Hey, I don't do this and you do that. Then I look down my nose at them. Now, I repeat again, you're a Pharisee. A spiritual person's standards are one thing, and you ought to have standards and you ought to have convictions. But I repeat again, the moment that your standards and convictions make you feel superior to somebody else and they're not fit company for you, all of this, then my friend, you are not spiritual. You are a Pharisee. You're a Pharisee. I mix and mingle with folks that don't do anything about my convictions. But I try not to make them feel uncomfortable because I don't preach to them and I don't look at them down my nose and I try to relax them. You see, this matter of Christianity, God does something in the human heart. And we're to in and out. We're in the world but not of the world. Now, this matter, do you have a black book? Well, if you do, you're a Pharisee, but if you know yourself, you don't have any books. If you've lived with yourself long enough, your name probably be at the top of the black book. Now, think with me tonight. The great reception. Now, look what he says. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us of the glory of God. Now, how did he receive you? How did he receive me? He did it by grace. That means we didn't deserve it. Now, how are we to receive one another as believers? We're to receive one another by grace. Not because we deserve it, but because of the fact that we desperately need it. The psalmist said, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? If God went through here tonight and he began to mark iniquities, there's not going to be anybody up here. There's not going to be anybody down there. I mean, we're all going to be wiped out. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? And how did he receive us? He received us by grace. And I'm to receive fellow believers just like God received me. That's by grace. I'm not to say, well, they don't deserve it. No, I'm to receive them just like God received me. If he didn't receive me by grace, then he'd never receive me. The second way he received me just like I am. He took you just like you were, too. Lock, stock, and barrel. Isn't that wonderful? Well, how are you to receive fellow believers just like you are? Just like you are. Now, there's a whole lot of different kind of folks. There's a lot of different temperaments, and God's the author of temperament. There's a lot of sins and weaknesses and failures. God's not the author of that. But you and I receive one another just like God received us, and He took us just like we are. He didn't say, now you go clean up, you go straighten up, you cut this out. No, sir, He took us as sinners. If He didn't take us just like we are, then what happened? Then we had something to do with our salvation. He took us just like we are. Then He did something else. He took us with a bad memory. You know, God's got a bad memory. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I did something. I gave a vote of confidence for somebody one time, and they were to speak somewhere. And later on, somebody said, you mean you gave a vote of confidence knowing what that individual had done? I said, never entered my mind that they did it. I didn't think about it. I know more about this congregation tonight than anybody else. And I want you to know, I know the heartaches and the sorrows and the dark spots and the tragedies and the triumphs. And I don't think about that stuff when I shake hands with you and when I fellowship with you and I sit across the table with you. I don't think about that. That doesn't enter my mind. Now, the devil will tell you that people remember. I don't remember that. I don't think about that business. Now what? When God saved us, He said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He saved us with a bad memory. I don't remember. Now how are we to receive one another? We'd have bad memory too. Would you want everything that's wrong that you ever did remembered against you? Huh? Then number four, he said he received us thus to the glory of God. Did you know God's glory is receiving sinners? That's His glory. Jesus, when he spoke about going to the cross, he said the Son of Man is glorified. His highest glory was dying to save sinners so He could receive sinners. Now, we receive each other like God received us, and what, that'd be a glory to overlook and to receive one another and to forget, have a poor memory, and to be the glory of receiving one another. Now, that's a great deception. Consider number two, the great identification. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14. Seeing then, Hebrews 4, page 1294. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but it was in all points tempted like as we are. Now I can relate to that. That's His humanity. He's tempted in all points like as we are. Now what? Yet without sin, that's His deity. He had His deity, He's tempted like as we are. He had His humanity. He had His deity, yet without sin. Now, I cannot relate to anybody that's sinless. Can you? Can you? Our Lord could not relate to us because He was sinless. He related to us because He was tempted. Not that He became sinful, but the fact that He was tempted, He relates to us. He understands. Now, the great identification. Did you know the only way in the world that you can relate to other folks is through humanity? Oh, what's humanity? Sin sure made a mess of us, hasn't it? Sin sure clouded our mind and enslaved our will and inflamed our passions and disrupted our goals, and sin really made a mess of the human race, hasn't it? One of the qualifications of a priest was that he was what? Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmities or this matter of sin. I can relate to folks who failed. Can you? Can you? You know what it is to fail? You ever let yourself down? Disappointed? You ever done that? And you feel bad? Well, there's about 400 failures here tonight. Oh, then we can relate to each other. We're human. Oh, well, what? Humans are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then, hey, then I can understand you and you can understand me. The trouble is that when we carry a black book around and we look for perfection, we're in trouble. The trouble is that we don't look at number one first to find perfection. Now, I'm a perfectionist. That's terrible, isn't it? How could a man be a perfectionist who's not perfect? Well, that's part of the fall. I can spot some things out of order. Proofreading. You know, when you proofread an article, you're not looking for things that's right. You're looking for things that's wrong. And you'll never get through reading an article if you look for everything that's right. You're looking for that which is wrong. Now, we expect perfection everywhere except at home. And it's not to be found. It'd be nice to be perfect, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? I mean, come on, wake up. Be nice. If I was perfect, wouldn't have any more temptations, no more sin, no more storms, no more mistakes, no more failures, no more boo-boos. Wouldn't it be nice? But that's not so. If it were not for the fact that the Scripture says, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? Jeremiah talks about the potter's. He went down to the potter's house and he had a vessel on the wheel and it was marred in the hands of the potter. And all of us without exception been marred somewhere or another in the hands of the potter. Yesterday I went to a homecoming. My older sister called it. I don't think she feels like she'll be here another year, but she called it and I sat around the table. And on the way home, I was counting how good God's been to me. I was not counting how superior I was to the rest of my kinfolks. I did not feel that way. And I thought as I sat around that table, the frustrations and the heartaches and the tragedies and the broken homes and the immorality and drugs and the children and grandchildren and in-laws and all of this. And I thought, and I did not sit there like a Pharisee that I'm too holy for you ought not to be here. These folks aren't worthy of my presence, and I should not be here. That didn't enter my head. But I counted my blessings, how good God has been to me. Humanity. God remembers our frame. He remembers that we are dust. I want to ask you a question. Dave Skazinski is not here, and I want to say this. Dave Skazinski, I believe, is a great mission man. I believe he's got what it takes to run a rescue mission. I appreciate his ministry. Appreciate his wife. Now, but do you have a gospel for rescue people and men and women? Now, be careful, Al. Do you have a gospel for men and women who've blown everything? I mean, do you have a gospel that'll go down to the rescue mission and say, yes, you've blown everything, but there's forgiveness and God can still use you and God can mend a broken heart and God can do something for you? Do you have a gospel like that? Or do you have a gospel that God just, well, he'll help you out if you haven't blown it too much? Now, the devil's a liar. He gets a man to sin, and then the thing he does is he makes him despair. And there's nothing blacker than despair. And to feel like that I'm no good, that I'm unworthy, and God can't ever use me anymore. Now, that's a sad place to be, and I've been there. years ago, and I hadn't gone out and fallen into sin, but the devil was working me over up one side and down the other, that God was through with me. And in the middle of that, Dr. Bobbitt called me on Saturday night and asked me would I be a kickoff speaker for the Southwide Baptist Fellowship. My soul, I mean preachers from all over the country. And Dr. Hyman Appleman was in the Orient, and he had to cancel out. He was the first speaker, and would I come and speak? And the devil had already worked me over. My guilt complex and my, I said, man alive, if they knew how I felt, they wouldn't ask me to preach on anybody's platform. And I went to the Southwide Baptist Fellowship, and my wife would stand up and verify, and I went to Southwide Baptist Fellowship. I was absolutely scared to death. I'm going to stand up there, and I'm not going to have anything to say. I won't be able to say anything. God's through with me, and He's washed me off. He's put me on the shelf. His hand's no longer upon me. And I dreaded with a holy horror to stand up before my preacher brethren. I'd have done anything in the world if I could have given somebody. Say, no, give it to somebody else. They introduced me, and I stood up there, and I read my text in the book of Ecclesiastes, whatsoever God doeth, He does it forever. And I said, whatsoever God does, He does it forever. I was scared. I didn't see the congregation for about the first 15 minutes. I was absolutely scared. And I felt like I wanted to go to the Orient too. And here I was, going to be humiliated and embarrassed and stand there and no message from God and God's hand and God's power off me. And here I stand before all my brethren. Man, I'll tell you, if you don't think that's a horrible feeling, if you've never been there, I don't envy you. I don't want you to be there. And I was so geared up, and finally God got in that message and gave me great liberty, and the devil lied to me. But I was so geared up, I went back to the motel there in Jacksonville that night, tried to unwind. I jogged and played. Man, I ran. Man, I tried to run it off, and I couldn't preach off. And I ran, and I jogged, and I ran, and I ran. And then I did sit-ups, and I did the hop, straddle hops, and I did everything. I was trying to work. I was about to blow up. I was so geared up, and preaching 45 minutes didn't take all the steam out of me, that the devil is the fear and the terror and the adrenaline glands working. And then I took a hot shower. And then I took a hot soak. And then I took a cold shower. Then I took another hot shower. And then I came out and I jogged and I back and forth. 4 o'clock the next morning before I went to sleep. I won't tell you, it's a horrible bushwhack when the devil hits you and tells you you're sorry and you're no good and you're unworthy and God can't use you and God will never use you again. You'll never soar as high again. You sinned. You've blown it. That's a horrible thing. And the sad thing about it, that oftentimes as Christians, we join with the devil and say, that's right. I have my way. You won't teach again. I have my way. You won't preach again. Because you disqualified yourself. You're unworthy. And I suppose I've been browbeat more over that than anything else in all the world. Now I want to say this, and I'm not saying this. I'm not saying this insincerely. I mean this with all my soul. Any preacher that I've ever had preach behind this pulpit, I felt that he was a greater preacher and a better preacher than I am. I felt like he was a greater Christian than I am. I've never had a man in this pulpit that I felt superior to. Never. 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 Why? Brother, I am what I am by the grace of God. And if God does not help me, then I don't have one thing in the world to share with you or anybody else. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now Paul said, now you receive one another as God has also received you to the glory of God. And we don't sing Amazing Grace like we did when we first got saved. I know preachers, and I'm just talking tonight. I know preachers, and I'm sure the devil and they open the Word of God. And I know qualifications, and the Word of God says that, and uphold qualifications. But I know godly men, great men. I talked to a man on the phone the other day. Every last one of his children, the devil seemed like he destroyed. Now they're right with God. And he said, I told Mama, and Mama and I prayed and prayed and prayed and felt like one time, sometime along the way, God's going to straighten our kids out. And he said, you won't believe the transformation in my children. And he began to name this one and this one and this one and this one. And you rest assured, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, whether you're a deacon, when something happens in your family and folks are, they're not, your children not living like they ought to, the devil will come in and say, you're not worthy to be a deacon. You're not worthy to be a preacher. You're not worthy of this thing. And what's the business to try to get you to throw in the towel? Quit! And that's not the answer. That's not the answer. Oh, he said, yeah, what about the scriptures? Yeah, I know what about the scripture, but the scriptures filled with the fact that God gives a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth chance to people who want another chance. And I'll give them another chance, and another chance, and another chance, and another chance, and another chance. Now, folks, if it bothers you to find out the humanity and the sins of others, then you need to get a little closer to the Lord. And if I stood here tonight and told what I knew about everybody, or you say, what about you? I ain't going to tell you that. I say this honestly, if you knew me like I know me, you wouldn't come hear me preach. And if I knew you like you know yourself, I wouldn't come hear you teach either. Oh, you say you out in the tavern tonight? No, sir. No, sir. I'm just simply saying that I am what I am by the grace of God. You are what you are by the grace of God. There's nothing to brag about. Let's give glory to Him and sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Receive you one another. As God also received you to the glory of God. Do you make folks serve a life sentence for something they did? I mean, you gonna make them pay the rest of their life. You did this, and I got this in the black book, and the rest of their life, and you gonna pay for this, buddy. And you make them serve a sentence. See? God doesn't do you that way. We wouldn't have come to the service on Pentecost, Simon Peter. Preaching. Suppose I invited some preacher, he cursed and swore publicly, and I'm against cursing unless the people need it. Now that's a joke. I'm glad you caught that. Glad you finally laughed. Suppose everybody knew that he cursed and swore, and I'm going to put it in a newspaper, you know, come here, brother so-and-so, you know, and I put it in a newspaper, and he just did that 40 days ago. I don't think we'd break all attendance records. Do you? I don't have them on Easter Sunday. We're going to break all the records. We're going to have 1,500. Well, I take it back. A lot of folks have come out of curiosity. We want to see that preacher that cussed. We expect God to write us off. And if he doesn't write us off, we expect at least he puts us on probation, you know. I mean, he make us serve some time. Yes. You know, I've been here 19 years, and I got a sneaking suspicion that you have seen a few things wrong with me. I got a sneaking, I got a sneaking suspicion that it's some real hot deacons meetings, and sometimes we have some hot ones. I got a sneaking suspicion that they saw me, in ways that you haven't seen me. And I've seen them in ways you haven't seen them either. I'm glad the walls are on my office over there can't talk. We had some hot ones. And you're not going to associate with folks 19 years without finding out that they made the same stuff. You made the same stuff. All have clay feet. None to be worthy. And I've seen your clay feet and you've seen my clay feet. Seen some dirty feet. And what's that? You always just sweep everything on the rug? No, sir. No, sir. We cry out against sin. Cry out against compromise. You better realize this thing, that this thing called sin, I mean something else. It's something else. You know, sometimes I get encouraged. I make a little headway, and I get encouraged. Surprise myself sometimes. I encourage myself today. I'm a cleric, and a cleric will never be a sanguine. I'm a cleric, melancholy, little sanguine, just a little tiny bit. Last two out of three Sundays, they put on our broadcast late. This morning is 9 minutes late. I don't know where it was last Sunday, but Sunday a week ago was 4 minutes late. And I called up this morning, and no kidding, I surprised myself. I want you to give me a gold star or something. And the fellow answered, and I said, I see you got some problems. Now, a few years ago, I'd have cleaned his plow. What in the world you mean messing up my broadcast? Then I'd ask questions later. And he said, well, I'm new here, and I really don't know what's going on. And he said, they sent me. I said, well, I'll get you some help. He said, I got some, and he doesn't know more than I do. I said, well, I'll talk to the manager, and I'll see that he takes time to help you to know. And I wasn't being sarcastic. Now, I don't know what that may not encourage you, but that sure encourages me. I believe I've grown a little bit. I really believe I've grown a little bit. Ask my wife if I've grown a little bit. Well, you see, I rubbed shoulders with the rest of humanity, and I discovered, if thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? But there's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest defeat. You got a little black book? You know, receive one another. That means a choleric is to receive a sanguine. That means a sanguine to receive a melancholy. That means a choleric to receive a phlegmatic. They're folks that are built for speed. I mean, it'd take them a half a day to get from here to the door. That's the way they're made, and they think they're going wide open. Hear about the fellow that was telling them how big a farm he had in Georgia, and the Texan came up and he said, "Why, Shaw, that's nothing. That I got a ranch that takes me all day to ride my horse across." And the farmer from Georgia said, "I had a horse like that once, too." uh,
God made us different.
And temperament, I'll never be a phlegmatic. I wasn't made that way. And a phlegmatic will never be a sanguine, will never be a choleric, and you just will face it. And a melancholy is not going to get up on top of my, woo, glory to God, amen, hallelujah. No, sir. If they do that, they'll be in the valley when they do it. I mean, they always see the dark side. I mean, it's all, I got a preacher brother. You call him up tonight and ask him what a day he had. Well, pretty good. I'll assure you, if you get on the phone, I'm going to tell you his name. You get on the phone and you call him, he's never had a good day that I ever know in my life. I mean, they can push out the walls and have all the time. Well, how you doing? Well, that's a pretty good day. He's melancholy. He's always sad. He's always that way. Why? What's that? That's not spirituality. That's the matter of his temperament. That's the way he's made. And Doubting Thomas, old Thomas, Jesus said, let's go, you know, to be with him. He said, let's go die with him too, Lazarus. I mean, he's always, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And Thomas said, we don't know the way. And Jesus got through telling him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He was always in the objective mood. He was always that way. He made that way. He said, well, why in the world can't everybody be like you? That's the reason. That one's enough. Now receive one another. And there are people that they just made, they're made, and I think I'm just talking around tonight, and so we don't have a place to go but heaven or home, and so just wait a while. I'm going to quit on time. And on time, here's when I get through. But I won't crowd it. I got a sister. She writes me, and my oldest sister, she writes me a letter. And I can read, she can write me 4 pages, and I grew like that, and I've read it. Now, what does it say? Dear Sir Bryson, won't you call me that? That's for you. And she says, the sun's shining so beautiful outside, and the red birds are in the trees singing, and the collard greens are cooking, and she names all that stuff. I couldn't care less about it. What she writing me for? To tell me the sun was shining, the birds in the trees, and the collard greens cooking? What she writing me for? That's why she'll tell me something, and I could condense that letter, bless her heart, she's a good lady, a great lady, and loves the Lord, but I could condense her letter to 2 sentences. I hear somebody say, we should do your sermons like that, but I beat you to that one. Now, my mother, she wrote, never used the subject. Verbs, actions, all of us. And she writes, went to town. I understand that. Bought groceries. Understand that. Feeling well. Understand that. And she named that, and that letter was jam-packed with facts. I mean, you had to read the whole business. And when you got through, I'm telling you, it was loaded. And somebody else will receive one another. Somebody else will, instead of standing up in testimony meeting, and I'm trying to keep from looking at anybody in particular, I look at the ceiling. And instead of standing up in testimony meeting, said, I led a brother to the Lord today. He got gloriously saved. This is the way to tell it. I got up this morning, 6:45. And I had my prayer and my devotions. And since it was raining outside, I got my raincoat. And I got in the car. And I didn't think it was going to stop. I had to start for a while. And after a while, it started. And then I noticed I needed some gas. So I went by the filling station. I got a tank of gas. And I said goodbye, good morning to so-and-so. And then I went down to such and such street. And I pulled up outside. And just as I pulled up, the dog ran across the front yard. And I got out. And I went in. And I knocked on the door. And this tall, blonde-headed fellow came to the door. And I said, my name is so-and-so. What's yours? And they told their name. And I said, and they began to talk and talk and talk. And they tell you every word it ever said. And inside now, me, I'm saying, would you please just tell me what happened? I don't care that your car did the... Now what, let's receive one another. And I had to stand and listen to all of the adjectives and all that. And I'm just interested in what happened. Did you get him saved? Don't tell me all that. Now I made that way. You made the other way. And I had to listen to you. and you have to listen to me. When I don't put on the flowers and the salad, they're just blunt. Dr. James R. Jackson, a great surgeon. I've seen doctors come out and tell somebody that they're about to lose their loved ones, you know, and they talked inside. Why in the world don't you tell them? Dr. Jackson came out and he said, he's going to die. We say, cool. No, sir. That's his nature. That's his nature. Receive ye one another. And here, folks, a combination of all four temperaments. And God said, now you see one another just like God received us, and he took us just like we are. And the sad thing about, that's the wrong word. I take that back. I didn't mean to say that. I apologize. I didn't mean to say that, because I'm going to strangle myself for the next thing I say. And the amusing thing about it. as it is that these opposites get married. Is that right? Who does the talking at your house, Jimmy? All of it. Amen. And the very thing that attracts you to a guy that doesn't talk, to a girl doesn't talk, marry somebody that does talk, and then what attracts you after a while becomes a problem. That's right. God must have made that way for character development. Serious. Now, here he says, receive one another as God received us. Now, receiving one another, would you turn to John chapter 13, and I'm going to jump on this, and I'm going to quit. I promise you. You know, I really enjoy getting out. I come to church at 6 o'clock. I'm serious about that. Don't you? Amen. I like that. I do. John 13. And the Scofield Bible, John follows Luke. I don't know where it is in the Dr. Rice's Bible. In John 13, you have the Lord washing the disciples' feet. He washed them before they fell. It was symbolic of his restoring them to fellowship. And then down at verse 14, he said, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed one another's feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. If you ever felt like you need somebody to restore you, to help you, to get yourself right with the Lord? Huh? You ever felt like that? Oh, my, I wish somebody would come along and help me to get back in fellowship and get things right with the Lord. I wish that's wishing for somebody to wash your feet. Now, believers are what to help. We're to wash one another's feet, and that's not talking about an ordinance of foot washing. That's talking about restoring a brother who's sinned out of fellowship. Now, how would he do it? Let me give you some things, and then we'll go home. All right, make sure yours are clean. All right? Make sure yours is clean. Number two, do it as Christ did it. He did it because he loved them, not because he's angry with them. We'd do it to have scalding water, you know. I wash your feet. No, he'd do it as he did it. Number three, do it on your knees. That's the way he did it. Come at them from below. You ever come at anybody from above, you lose them. Come at them from below. Number four, don't get the water too hot. Cold water, don't get it too cold either. You put your feet in cold water or hot water, you pull them out. Don't get it too hot. Number five, do it with the word. The word is water. The word is a sword. And when you're trying to restore somebody, you don't use the sword of the word. You use the water of the word. Ah, that's refreshing. That's soothing. That's cleansing. Do it with the word. Number six, do it discerningly. Sometimes we try to wash somebody's feet, and they don't need their foot washed. feet washed. They need regeneration. They don't need restoration. They need salvation. And you try to restore somebody who's not a believer. Judas Iscariot washing his feet wouldn't help him a bit in the world. He needed the overall washing instead of foot washing. Number 7, do it in the shadow of the cross. Our Lord going to the cross, and here he washed their feet, and he did it in the shadow of the cross. And number 8, when you get through washing them, use a towel. Jesus did. What a towel. He blotted it all out. He blots it all out. He doesn't remember it. It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folk?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? $1, $1, then $2, only $2, $2, and who'll make it $3? Going for $3? But no. From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow, then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody of pure and sweet as a carol an angel sings. The music ceased. The auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "Now what am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with a bow. $1,000, and who'll make it $2? $2,000, and who'll make it $3? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, cried he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not understand. What changed the work?" Quick came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. And if there's anything good about our lives, it didn't come because of law, it came because of grace. And who can brag about grace? You can't brag about it, but you can brag on grace. The Lord did it. Brethren, receive ye one another. Anybody you don't receive? Anybody you avoid? Anybody you skirt around? Why are you doing that? That little book that you keep your grievances? Anybody? God didn't do you that way. God didn't avoid you. God didn't bypass you. And we ought to be willing to have fellowship with anybody God will have fellowship with. Don't you think that's fair? You think that's fair? Suppose God hadn't saved us. You ever thought of where you'd be? I'll tell you this. God hadn't saved me. I'll tell you this sincerely. I'd be mean as a devil. You say you already are. I would be meaner. You got somebody that you don't fellowship with, I suggest that you brush up here below because you're going to fellowship with them in heaven. And it'd be just nice to know somebody before you get home.